This week's reading, an ancient word, is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 67 through 80. Zechariah, John's father, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Blessed are you, the Most High God of Israel, for you have visited and redeemed your people. You have raised up a mighty Savior for us of the house of David, as you promised through the mouths of your holy ones, the prophets of ancient times. Salvation from our enemies and from the hands of all our foes. You have shown mercy to our ancestors by remembering the holy covenant you made with them, the oath that you swore to Sarah and Abraham, granting that we, delivered from the hands of our enemies, might serve you without fear, in holiness and justice, in your presence all our days. And you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before our God to prepare a way for the promised one, giving the people the knowledge of salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Such is the tender mercy of our God, who from on high will bring the rising sun to visit us, to give light to those who live in fear and the shadow of death, and guide our feet into the way of peace." In the meantime, the child grew up and became strong in spirit. He lived out in the desert until the day he appeared openly in Israel.
Join us in this responsive prayer of reflection. Sometimes the world feels too silent, God, not without sound, but without any sound that makes sense. In all the noise of human sin and pain, we miss the sound of your voice.
So we pray for messengers to speak again your word of restoration that prepares us to welcome again your visitation.
Messengers of listening and forgiveness to silence the noise of conflict and hatred.
Messengers of seeing and empathy to silence the noise of stereotyping and disengagement.
Messengers of hope and responsibility to silence the noise of negativity and apathy.
Messengers of faith and perseverance to silence the noise of resignation and expediency.
In every place where people need to hear your word, may your messengers speak. Give us the courage to be messengers for you.
Amen. And I invite you to stand as you're moved and let's sing, "Blessed Be the God of Israel."
Blessed be the God of Israel, who comes to set us free, who visits and redeems us and grants us liberty. The prophet spoke of mercy, of freedom and release. God shall fulfill the promise to bring our people peace. Now from the house of David, a child of grace has come, a Savior who will lead. Savior, with songs that never cease.
Be seated. A further word from the Gospel according to Luke, from the third chapter. Follow up on this character, John the Baptizer. The writer of Luke says, in the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, the ruler of Abilene. That's why I didn't give you this one to read, Jim, because I can make these words up, right? Anyway, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, that son of Zechariah, out in the desert. John went through the entire region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Holy One, make the paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And then this prayer, this poem, Contemporary Word, appeared on my feed this week. I liked it. It's by Ken Sehested, a dear friend, the founding executive director of the Baptist Peace Fellowship of North America, so a longtime committed peace warrior. This is called The Baptizer's Bargain. John. Such a tame name for a man born to inhabit the wild side of heaven's incursion. You startle children with your leather-girdled, camel-haired attire, hot breath bidding the devout into Jordan's penitential wake, the same waters that mark the boundary of beneficence of the Hebrew slaves' long march from Pharaoh's provision to providence of another riskier kind, though laced with the promise of milk and honey. What drove you to this scorched abode, abounding in wild beasts, hostile foes, and scarce sustenance? John, the shape of your profile was cockeyed from conception. Born to parents long since impotent and barren, your father stunned speechless by the angel's approach, your future yoked with that of Elijah, that ancient antagonist of royal deceit. And you paid for it with your head. What was it in Mary's voice that prompted you your recoil in Elizabeth's womb? And why the abandonment of familial legacy in the choice of your name? What incredulous politics is this that the incarnate Word of God would bypass the lordly Tiberius and Pilate, the princely Philip and Lysanias, the priestly Annas and Caiaphas, to locate you of honey-smeared beard amid such remote and wayward landscape? John, spirit-drenched baptizer of repentant flesh, exposing shameful inheritance to the advent of mercy and an anthem of praise, lonely minstrel of pledged betrothal, announcing dawn's infiltration of destiny's dark corner, scattering death's shadow with the footfalls of peace. Witness to dove's descent, reversing heaven's flooding threat with lauded applause to Mary's ascent and Messiah's demand for hills prostration and valleys upheaval. Speak, John, roar with the complaint against every crooked and cragged thoroughfare. Should the elect resist, the stones themselves will produce heirs worthy of Abram's fealty. Echo the insistent refrain, revive, return, repair. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. The baptizer's bargain is this: enter these waters at the risk of self-absorbed survival. A certain drowning is needed for lungs to receive breath from above on wings of the dove. Vipers, beware. The baptized, prepare. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Sometimes the path lies straight ahead, like driving across Nevada, just straight ahead. Sometimes it has tortuous twists and turns. Sometimes it's level, and sometimes it takes you up and down like a roller coaster. Sometimes the road has been freshly paved, and others it's bumpy and rough, full of potholes and narrow or no shoulders. The prophet proclaims the good news that a day of trouble-free travel is just ahead, right over that next hill. All we need to do is stay the course. Well, how many of you are hikers? Any hikers here? Yeah, I know some. I know some of you are, or have been, at least, inveterate hikers, exploring the many trails that crisscross this area, hiking in the Sierra or Appalachia, hiking in South America or Europe or Asia or Africa. Some of you adventurers may have made your way down under, some perhaps even to Antarctica, although I don't know there's a lot of hiking there, but anyway. For some, that covers all the continents. So for some of us, hiking involves traveling on established trails, often preferring those paths that have been paved. Others have been more adventurous, choosing to blaze your own trails. It reminds me of Robert Frost's poem, Two Roads Diverge in a Yellow Wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that's made all the difference. Our choice of road or path or way does matter, and we do, friends, get to choose. One thing is clear, though. You will never, ever arrive at your destination, whatever it may be, if you don't get going. You've got to start. Remember that ancient adage of Lao Tzu, that a journey of 1,000 miles begins with what? A single step. You'll never get to the top of the mountain unless you start the climb. You'll never cross the desert if you don't get moving, preferably in the cool of the morning. You'll never get over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house if you don't load the sleigh and crack the whip. Dorothy and friends would never have made it to Oz without setting out, skipping along the yellow brick road. The Magi would never have reached Bethlehem if they hadn't loaded up the camels and headed west following that star. There are people, friends, currently waiting at our southern border for the opportunity to conclude their brutal, long, months-long walk across Central America. They began that journey and continued that journey because they believed that something better was ahead. They dreamed of a better life, one free of terror and violence and oppression in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Their journey is not yet completed. They have come this far. What might we do to help make their dreams reality? In Palo Alto, the church spent a whole year as an alternative to the lectionary exploring the idea presented by Brian McLaren that we make the road by walking. That's the title of his book. We make the road by walking. As with Robert Frost, we don't always know where the journey will take us, but we hear that ancient promise of a land in which, by the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in fear and the shadow of death. There is a better day coming. There is a better place awaiting those who keep the faith and keep walking the way, even when it seems like there is no way. There is a resolve and a discipline that's necessary for this journey. Nobody goes backpacking without preparing for the trip, right? At least not safely. If they do, it's at their own peril. The path to peace requires preparation and a certain training and discipline. In today's words of preparation, Edward Hayes suggests that Advent is the perfect time to clear and prepare the way. He writes that Advent is like a winter training camp for those who desire peace. By reflection and prayer, by reading and meditation, by joining together in times of worship, we can make our hearts a place where the blessings of peace would desire to abide and where the birth of the Prince of Peace might take place. A place of peace may not be the whole Advent story, but it's a big part, especially on this second Sunday in which the focus is peace. We'll talk about a long and winding road full of strange twists and turns. That aged priest, Zechariah, goes through quite an ordeal before bringing us to a place of peace at the end of his beautiful hymn of ecstasy and promise. He insists that the day will come when God guides our feet in the paths of peace. Zechariah sings his song as he looks at that miraculous baby born to him and his beloved wife, Elizabeth. Have any of you had the... I know some of you had the chance to hold an infant in your arms, in your hands. Can you imagine Zechariah holding this infant in his hands? Zechariah sings his song as he looks at this miraculous baby born to him and his beloved wife, Elizabeth, when they were thinking about retirement, not raising a child. Sometimes we make the road, and sometimes it seems the road makes us, or at least circumstances do. One can imagine that Elizabeth and Zechariah were pretty set in their ways as they came closer to the end of their days. Suddenly, their lives are upended, and they find themselves on a route they hadn't thought about for years. Not since their childbearing time had ostensibly passed. Well, whatever stress and challenges lay ahead, they found themselves joyful at this turn of events and eager to walk this new road with their infant son. Old Zechariah, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaks a prophetic word. Blessed are you, the Most High God of Israel, for you have visited and redeemed your people. You have raised up a mighty Savior for us of the house of David. You promised through the mouths of your holy ones, the prophets of ancient times, salvation from our enemies and from the hands of all our foes. You've shown mercy to our ancestors by remembering that holy covenant you made with them, the oath you swore to Sarah and Abraham. granting that we, delivered from the hands of our enemies, might serve you without fear in holiness and justice in your presence all our days. See, in his aging eyes, Zechariah sees the ancient promises made by God to his people. He sees them being fulfilled right in front of him. And then he turns and sings to his infant son. And you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before our God to prepare a way for the promised one, giving the people the knowledge of salvation through forgiveness of their sins. And sure enough, two chapters further into Luke's gospel, we find that child all grown up, proclaiming the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins and shouting, "Prepare the way of the Holy One, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill made low, and the crooked shall be made straight and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Repentance, forgiveness, salvation. This is the road John asks his listeners and us to walk. Prepare. Get up. Be ready. The Holy One is coming. Don't get left out of this expedition, which promises to be both challenging and fulfilling at the same time. Your life depends on your readiness to journey and your willingness to travel. Well, in spite of his rough demeanor and harsh words, I want to believe that somewhere in the back of John's mind, his daddy's prayer of blessing still lingered. Such is the tender mercy of our God, who from on high will bring the rising sun to visit us, to give light to those who live in fear and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet in the way of peace. Surely the way of peace was a large part of this way for which John was urging people to prepare. However, echoing the insistent refrain, "Revive, return, repair," John's stern manner would not allow for a peace that was anything less than God's shalom. Not just the absence of conflict and violence, the peace of Christ would manifest God's shalom, that is, God's deep desire for justice, peace, harmony, blessing, well-being throughout the whole of creation. John Holbert's words about Malachi could just as easily apply to John and anyone wanting to follow God's path to peace. He writes, "We all could do well to take him," that is Malachi, "more seriously as a prophet who warns us that when the messenger of the covenant shows up, he will have more in mind for us than a sweet baby and tinsel-filled tree. The judge will still look carefully at just how we have been treating those members of our community who are on the margins, who struggle for daily bread and fulfilled life. We should expect nothing else this and every Advent season. Guide our feet in the paths of peace." And so Advent continues. Our ruminations go deeper. We wait, we watch, we wonder if we will ever know peace. Will we find peace in our own souls? Will there be peace on earth, peace that passes understanding, peace that heals and makes whole, peace that allows the wolf to live with the lamb and the leopard with the kid, peace that allows a little child to lead the people and bring us back into full communion with God peace that ensures there will be no more hurting or destruction in God's holy mountain, because the whole earth will be full of the knowledge of God. The Benedictus, Zechariah's great hymn of prophecy, praise, and blessing moves us toward this sort of peace. Peace that supersedes our limited understanding, that offers human wholeness, that heals the whole creation. Peace that is indeed God's shalom. Once again, we find ourselves waiting and watching for something, something that is deeply desired, wondering if it will ever come. We may long for peace, but we know we live in a world in which there is much too little of it, both personally and politically. Though we may live in between times, times in which we do not yet fully know the way of peace, Zechariah promises that his boy John will prepare us to bridge these times as we live in hope toward God's beloved community. Remember that Advent is the perfect time to clear and prepare the way. A winter training camp for those who desire peace. Christ himself will guide our feet in paths of peace if we are willing to walk with him and trust ourselves to take that first step. Amen.